about the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. Why the midpoint? Because in Ezekiel 39, the Bible says, that's when God says, here comes all of these people, this coalition of Russian-led troops, and they're about to go into Israel, unwalled cities, because the Antichrist promised their safety, but he couldn't deliver on it ultimately. And right when these forces are about to pour into Jerusalem, then the Lord says, I got to read it to you. I got to show you this. Go to Ezekiel chapter 39. This is why I believe that the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is in the middle portion, because look what God does. If you look at verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken, and surely in that day there should be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Look how big this earthquake is. So that the fish of the sea get seasick, and the birds of the heavens get air sick, and the beasts of the field get land motion sickness, and all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and every wall shall fall to the ground. That is a big earthquake. Now in chapter 39, let's look at verse 2. When Gog and Magog are just about to go in, chapter 39, Ezekiel, verse 2. And I shall turn you around, Gog and Magog, and lead you on and bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. You think this is easy? They're unwalled. Let's get them. Lots of stuff. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand, and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. And you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel. And in another location, the Bible says, 5/6 of this invading army is killed. And if you keep cruising, you find out that it's a peculiar way that they die. Their eyes are consumed in their sockets. Their tongues are consumed in their mouths. And their flesh is consumed on their bodies while they are still standing. You shall fall in the mountains of Israel, you and all of your troops and the people who are with you, and I will give you to the birds of prey in every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. And you shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord. Now watch why he's doing this. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. This could be a reference to the United States on the other side, or it could be on the European coasts. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now watch, verse 7. And so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Don't forget, he said, I'm not going to call you my people until the time of which you finally recognize that I am Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That doesn't happen until when, you guys? The midpoint of the Great Tribulation. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego see Jesus in the middle or the midst. My holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Now watch this. And then the nations shall know. Who's the nations? That's all the Gentiles. That I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And it goes on, I have stepped back into the notice of the rest of the world. That I am the God of Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Back to Daniel chapter 9. Now with that going on, that's the battle of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, and now you know its purpose. Now let me give you 7 points, if you're taking notes, why the battle of Armageddon that we're looking at the last portion of chapter 11, is different from Ezekiel. Number one, in the Ezekiel invasion, that comes from the far north. Armageddon, as we'll see tonight and mostly next week in chapter 12, that's an invasion from the whole earth. You have Antichrist's forces, more or less, there in Europe. We're going to see tonight there's going to be another king of the north, not Gog and Magog, but another one. And there's going to come a king of the east. That's when God dries up the Euphrates River and a 200 million man army marches against Antichrist's forces. And tonight in Daniel chapter 11, we'll see a king of the south. Here in Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's only one direction, more or less, they're coming from, more or less, from the north. Number two, in Ezekiel, Magog starts the war. In Daniel chapter 11, the king of the north is pushed into it, as we'll see. In the Ezekiel campaign, that's the Antichrist going, let's go get him. But in Daniel, he doesn't want to fight. Does this king of the north? He's pushed into it. Number three, in the Ezekiel battle, there is no mention of the Antichrist. But in the Armageddon campaign, the little horn, the Antichrist, is prominent. That's why they're different and distinct. Number four, in the Ezekiel campaign, Egypt is not involved. It's not mentioned in Ezekiel 38 nor 39. But as we'll see tonight, the king of the south, Egypt, is mentioned. And Revelation 19 says that in the Armageddon campaign, all nations are involved. Number five, Magog's motive for the Ezekiel campaign is spoil. In the Armageddon campaign, what does Antichrist want to do? Destroy utterly and completely the Jews. You see how it's different? Number six, in the Ezekiel campaign, there is a 7-month cleanup when it's done. But in the Armageddon campaign, when it's done, Revelation chapter 19, there is a fast flight to Petra. And finally, number seven, the 7-year energy supply for Israel after the battle of Ezekiel. When God wins the battle for them, they use the weapons of Gog and Magog to power their cities for 7 years. But at the end of the Armageddon campaign, when Jesus comes back to the planet, they don't need that because God, through Jesus, restores back to an Eden-like state the entire planet, and they wouldn't need such energy. So those are 7 different points of why the Ezekiel campaign is not the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 40, one more time. At the time of the end, the Battle of Armageddon, the king of the south hears the mention of Egypt. And it could be Egypt, or it could be Egypt and Islamic North Africa. Could be. Shall attack him, the Antichrist, and the king of the north. No longer are we talking about the Seleucid or the Antioch boys, and no longer are we talking about the king of the north of Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog. We're no longer talking about Russia. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, come against that king of the south and or the Antichrist, with chariots and horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries and overwhelm them and pass through. The Antichrist has a counterattack. And it's going to take him and his armies into those nations, including Israel, as we'll see in a minute. He's going to get richer for a season. And in this counterattack, he, the Antichrist, shall also enter the glorious land. That's Israel. And you can see more of that in the book of Zechariah, and we have some tapes on that as well. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these, now watch this. There's going to be some regions of the world that will be out of reach for the Antichrist, and that's important. But these shall escape from his hand, the Antichrist's hands. Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. And right in parentheses, the rock city of Petra. Why are they spared from the Antichrist? Because it's the rock city of Petra, very likely, that in Matthew 24, when Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, get out of town and get to the hills. And the rabbis will point to a name of Basra. And they'll mention probably here in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Get to Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. Why? Because God has prophesied that the Antichrist will have not his reach there. And that's important, because for the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, that's where the remnant of Israel, believing Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I see Jesus, Israel, for the last 3.5 years to be supernaturally protected by the Lord. And at the very end of that time, Antichrist peels off, or I should say a portion, peels off from the massive battle of Armageddon, and a big contingency of his army heads to Petra, says the book of Zechariah. And just about when they're ready, aha, we finally got you. And about when they're ready to go into Basra, the Antichrist and his forces, that's when Jesus shows up, also in the book of Isaiah. And he, Jesus, mops up the Antichrist's forces that are just about to close in on Petra. And in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, hey, Messiah, why are your robes dipped in blood? And he says, because I've been to Basra, and I've wiped out the enemies there. And then he returns to heaven. He gathers all of us who have been in that 7-year marriage feast of the Lamb. And we've all got our brand new white robes, and we're on our horses. And Jesus says, let's go. And don't be surprised. In fact, I'm glad at Harvest we won't be sort of country bumpkins in heaven. We're going to be taught. Don't be surprised when your Lord, who is at the head of this army, let's go. We're not going to have to lift a finger in the battle of Armageddon. He has won, and his robes, oh, his robes are spattered with blood. Where have you been, Jesus? I've been to Armageddon, and I've been to the rock city of Petra, Basra, and they've all been wiped out by a word. Hey, church, now come down from heaven that you've been up since the rapture 7 years. Come back to the planet. I have fixed everything. All of the detractors and evil people and Antichrist followers, they're gone. I have saved the remnant of Israel and place them back in Jerusalem. I've fixed planet Earth back to its Eden-like condition. And you don't have to worry about spiritual warfare for the next 1,000 years, because I've thrown a chain around Lucifer and all of the fallen demons. They're gone. It's only me on the planet. You with your brand new bodies with no thought of sin. And planet Earth restored to a glorious Eden-like purity. Well, what humans are left? Only the remnant of Israel, only the 144,000, and those who received the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't get killed by the Antichrist. Those are the humans left on the planet. Can you imagine your first day back? It's going to be glorious. Walking around in our new bodies, continually filled with the Spirit. and only the humans who love Jesus too. It's going to be glorious for about a generation. Because the humans, they begin to procreate. And I suppose that next generation, well, there'll be a strong influence of their parents who made it through the terrible tribulation. And then generation number 3 and generation number 4. And remember, humans are going to be living to 1,000 years again. And in perfect health. No more carcinogens. No more cellulite. It's going to be great and glorious. And the Bible says if somebody happens to die at 100, we'll say, what a tragedy. How many babies can a healthy producing couple have in 1,000 years? And how many babies could they have? And how many babies could they have? And by the end of 1,000 years, there'll be a whole bunch, billions perhaps, of humans. All they've ever known is the full physical presence of Jesus on the planet. You and your new bodies walking around helping them along. Planet Earth, beautiful and pristine. And no spiritual warfare. And there will be many humans who will say, I don't like it around here. And you'll say, dude, you know what you're saying? I know, they'll say to you. They'll probably have pet names for us. You whatever people, new body people, retreads, I don't know what they'll call us. Don't tell me anymore how bad you had it. I know when you were human, you know, you had to walk 8 miles to school in the snow, uphill both ways. I'm tired of that. We want new management. Seriously, new management? And then the Bible says that God lets Lucifer out and all of his demons. Then that Lucifer, he again says what he says. I'll bet it's the same song, second verse, the same song that he sang to the angels, and they bought it. And a third of them went with him and are eternally damned and separated because of it. It's probably a version of that same song that he sings to believers in the church. That pastor of yours, he just wants to control you. That's why he's telling you, do this and don't do that. Don't listen to him. Listen to me, says the church splitter. It's the same song as he sang to the angels. And that person believes with all of his heart he's doing a God thing, even though his actions go directly against God's word. Same song, second verse, he'll sing to the humans. And a bunch of them will believe Lucifer too. And the Bible says a great multitude saddles up with the devil and they surround Jerusalem as if they didn't learn in the battle of Armageddon. Just about when they're about to attack, that's when God blows the trumpet. That's Judgment Day. The great white throne judgment. The good news is if you are in Jesus Christ, you won't be at that judgment. But we'll probably see it. And the books are opened and all everything that everybody has done. And I don't suspect that. I don't believe that Jesus, who is sitting on the great white throne judgment, I don't know, but I don't think he's going to say a word. He's not going to argue against the billions of people who stiff-armed God's every attempt for their redemption. The books are open, and everybody knows what you did and what you thought. And you know what everybody says descending into the terrible lake of fire, outer darkness? Everybody, including Lucifer, true and righteous are your judgments, oh God. It's not St. Peter at the pearly gates, you guys. And nobody's going to be able to con their way in because the books are open. Everybody's intellect is greatly expanded. Everyone will know as they are known. And instantaneously when the books are open, everyone in front of the great white throne judgment will know Every single time they refuse their opportunity to fall on the rock and repent. Their own selfish self-focus that kept them from that fateful decision. And as they descend into outer darkness for all eternity, you're right, God. You are right. Boom. And the door is shut. Jonathan Edwards wrote a powerful sermon about that time. It's called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I've read to you portions of it before. It's chilling. And when you have worn out age after age after age of this unimaginable loneliness and fire and torment, it will occur to you that there are ages and ages more to come. Whew. Verse 42. And he, the Antichrist, shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, and shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. There's your North African and Northeast Africa, kings of the south. But then news from the east will arrive. And another reason why we believe that this battle relates to Armageddon. In Revelation 9, verses 13 through 21, that's what mentions a 200 million man army from the Euphrates. We'll see that more next week, and we'll find that that army of 200 million is probably humans, but it could be demons as well. We'll see that next week. Is that China? Could be. Was it 1961 that from Peking they announced that they had a standing army of 200 million? It's actually in the books. And a lot of Bible prophecy buffs went, oh my goodness. And the north shall trouble him. This is not Ezekiel north. This is a different north. Therefore he, the Antichrist, will go out with a great fury and destroy and annihilate many there. And he shall plant tents in his palace between the seas. Probably the Mediterranean and the glorious holy mountain, right, the valley of Armageddon. Yet he shall come to his end at the battle of Armageddon in the valley of Armageddon, and no one will help him. And we'll see about that in chapter 12 next week. Interesting how Satan and the self-centered human heart think they can run things. I got this, I got this. Lucifer thought so. It's fallen apart around him. And beloved, when you and I grab the steering wheel from the Lord, and we think we can handle it too, careful. Satan, through all of his power and all of his knowledge, had powerful intimidation. He is not able to rule over the earth. Conclusion? Humans have to be purchased away at great cost from their sinful tendencies. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen.